You are listening to Career Talk Podcast for Young Professionals. I am Dr. Susie Chen from Resilient Leadership Academy. Co-hosting the show with me today is Sean Ng from GSI Eastern.
Thanks, Susie. Today, we are talking about pushing our boundaries to find career clarity.
And before we start, I would like to give our interviewer, Nichelle Nirula, a shout out. Nisha is an international student from Nepal who is currently completing a master's degree in software design and development. Reading our notes, I love how Nisha describes himself. He said he is a tech enthusiast with roots in Nepal, currently enriching his life in Melbourne, Australia. How beautifully put. We will hear from today's episode that public speaking isn't Nisha's favorite things to do. But as an early career professional who is keen to better himself and progress his career, Nisha has been pushing his own boundaries. Volunteering to work on this episode is one way that Nisha steps out of his comfort zone. So well done, Nisha. Now, Sean, who do we have as a guest for today's episode?
Our guest today is Associate Professor Dr. Ritesh Chu from CQ University, Australia. As an award-winning educator and researcher, Dr. Chu has published over 100 papers on topics such as system management, social media, educational systems, and technology-enhanced learning. He has been nominated for awards and has been recognized throughout his career more than 21 times. More importantly, Dr. Chu has been helping students and early career professionals with their career development.
Amazing. Our guest, Dr. Chuk from CQ University, indeed is very accomplished. We will include Dr. Chuk's full bio in our show notes. With all the accomplishments under his belt, Nichelle began his interview wondering how Dr. Chuk managed to do it all.
How do you manage to do all of this? We have 24-hour time frame, but you have managed successfully to carry out all these good deeds and responsibilities. What's the secret?
That's a very interesting question, a question that I often get asked. In a week, we have 10,080 minutes. And out of those 10,080 minutes, I think it's important to balance out everything that you do, whether that's work-related, whether that's personal life, whether you're focusing on your career growth, and obviously time for your own well-being and entertainment. So I think balancing all of that is very important. I mean, there are times when it's difficult, but I think my job gives me that flexibility to be able to manage those different things easily. I mean, I do have my own struggles when I'm managing them, but then if you are goal-driven, then managing your time becomes easier.
So does it come down to being in the comfort zone or being in the growth zone?
That's a very interesting question because, see, comfort zones are tricky. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say comfort zones are tricky is because comfort zones provide all of us a sense of security and familiarity. Because when you're working in a role and you've been there for a long time, you know, obviously you have that sense of security, you have familiarity, but staying within those comfort zones for too long can often hinder professional growth. True. So that's where, you know, I think it's important, and particularly because your podcast today is focused on career clarity, I think it's important to mention that, you know, you can achieve career clarity when people are willing to step outside these comfort zones, when they can confront challenges, when they can explore new possibilities. And I think, you know, when you step outside a comfort zone, there is always this uncertainty. Every person goes through that uncertainty, whether that's me, whether that's you, whether it's your listeners, and adapting to that change, I think, is very essential for a successful and fulfilling career.
Oh, I like how Dr. Chu puts it. Being in a comfort zone too long can be tricky because comfort zone provides us with a sense of security and familiarity. And if we stay there too long, it can hinder our professional growth.
Absolutely. This reminds me of our guest, Crystal Bullock, from the first episode. She shared with us that she regularly asks herself, what is next, as a way to self-assess and ensure she keeps moving forward instead of staying in her comfort zone.
If I have to reflect on my own journey, you know, there have been times when I have also been reluctant to step outside my comfort zone. But the moment I have stepped outside those zones, you know, I find that initially it is daunting, but in the long term, you know, it provides clarity about my own capabilities and passion for guiding others in whatever those different roles I have undertaken in the past, particularly in academia, because I've been in academia for over two decades now.
Mm-hmm. So like you mentioned, it's an unfamiliar territory, stepping outside of that comfort zone. So does that come with a risk? So there's a chance it will jeopardize your financial stability, your personal life, your work-life balance, and there can be an impact on career trajectory as well. So is there such thing as taking too much risk getting out to that growth zone from the comfort zone?
So firstly, I think we need to discount that financial impact for a minute. Because stepping outside your comfort zone does not necessarily mean you're going to go down financially. On the other side, it actually might be going up. Let's say you're working in a job and you change your job because there is a higher pay. So that's why, you know, that financial impact is not necessarily downwards. It's actually upwards. So I don't want to focus on that financial aspect. But, you know, because your question was, how do you balance, you know, stepping out of comfort zone and what are the risks involved? I may have already said this. It's important for your own personal and professional development, but obviously it comes with risks. And we have to do that risk assessment, you know, whether that might be financial impact, whether that might be the rewards that come with it. And we need to have a plan for mitigating the changes and taking calculated risks rather than impulsive decision-making. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to get into impulsive decision-making. If I reflect on my own career, let's say about 10, 15 years ago, when, you know, we started to integrate a lot of technology into my own teaching methods, there were those initial reservations. But then, no, we have to step out of our comfort zones. While those initial reservations may have posed risks, but the rewards have been substantial. No, I have become good as an online educator as well. I've increased student engagement. I've brought a fresh perspective on pedagogy. I mean, you can go and talk to my students and you see my interaction, whether that's in an online environment or whether that's in a face-to-face environment, is pretty much similar. And I take a lot of pride in that. So what that obviously means is I have learned from my own experiences also. And stepping out of that comfort zone is important. But the advice for your listeners is, don't take impulsive decisions. You do a risk assessment, basically, and then take calculated risks.
So even though it's an unfamiliar territory, so it's always a good idea to take calculated risk and have a plan before you just randomly step out of your comfort zone.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned that you step out of your comfort zone in very early of your career or in the early stages. Can you give us an example?
Look, in academia, we all teach certain subjects. And if my supervisor comes to me and says, well, there is a new subject that we'd like you to teach, I might not have expertise in that area, but that doesn't mean that I cannot learn. So what then needs to happen is, if I take that on as a new challenge, particularly in teaching an unfamiliar subject, I need to learn as well. And learning is accompanied with courage, Nishchal. You need to have the courage to learn and to adapt to new subjects, adapt to new educational methodologies. I think it was that courage of stepping outside of my own comfort zone that brought valuable experiences that contributed to my own professional development and also to that of the organization. Remember, it has to be a win-win situation for your listeners. You know, if your supervisor is approaching you to take on a new project, don't just hastily jump and say no. Mm-hmm. Evaluate. And ultimately, you know, you come to a point where sometimes you have to discuss it with your supervisor and say, well, we really want this to work, but it has to be a win-win. Just as another example, when I started research, and it's been 10 years since I've completed my PhD, well, it'll be 10 this year. And I still call myself an early researcher, right? Because 10 years is not a lot for when you've completed your PhD. So initially, I wasn't very focused on the type of research and the type of publications that I was doing. But then over the years, I started to delve into interdisciplinary research. I started to collaborate with experts who were outside my field. And I think it's this courage that helped me expand my own research horizons, which led to publications and opportunities that I wouldn't have encountered within my initial comfort zone. And that goes to all of your listeners. You know, your listeners, it's important that you all find ways to step outside your comfort zone if you want your career to progress.
There's a possibility that you will either succeed or you'll either fail. But even if you fail, then you'll fail with better experience or better knowledge. You'll fail forward rather than just try, not even trying at all, right?
Absolutely. Look, learning. Failure will lead to learning. You may not achieve the goal that you're after, but you will definitely learn. Now, I was watching a movie last night, and they were talking about failure in that movie. But then the character says towards the end, saying, I have learned all this based on my own lived experiences. That means things that I have encountered in my life, which have made me a better person, which have developed my character, which have developed my appreciation and understanding of the field for which I'm being interviewed. So, you know, your lived experiences are very important.
Let's pause here for a moment. Nichelle and Dr. Chuk mentioned an important concept during their interview, which is the fear that we may encounter when stepping out of comfort zone. And I can certainly appreciate this. As you know, Sean, I switched my career path several times myself, from medical research to project management to now running my own consulting services. Every time I change path, that fear factor certainly comes into play. But what about you? I know you have changed career path yourself from finance to call center industry. Did you experience fear when you stepped out of your comfort zone? And if yes, how did you overcome it?
Absolutely. I struggled with doing things that made me feel uncomfortable, such as progressing to a job that tested my limits and engaging with people who I usually don't associate with. The only ever way I overcame my fear of stepping out of my comfort zone was to step out of my comfort zone. There's absolutely no shortcut to alleviating that fear. You just have to keep pushing your boundaries and putting yourself in situations that will make you feel uncomfortable. And when you do that often, soon enough, you'll notice that that fear will slowly dissipate.
That's actually a very good reflection, Sean. There's a saying that we need to get used to be uncomfortable. I think it really summarizes what you have just said. Dr. Chuk also talks about career adaptability and building diverse skill sets. Let's continue with the interview.
How can someone realize that they're in the comfort zone? Someone can be struggling or hustling to achieve something, but they could still be in their comfort zone, right? How can someone realize that? And how can someone understand the boundary of their comfort zone?
Okay, I think our own experiences reinforce the idea that growth occurs when we push beyond what is familiar and we embrace the unknown. Pushing beyond what is familiar and embracing the unknown is very important. And comfort zones are defined by routine, by familiarity, and by fear of the unknown. This is what, you know, if you have to define a comfort zone, expand beyond your comfort zone. People need to set small achievable goals, individually increase complexity. Also, it's advisable to seek mentorship, very important. Acquiring new skills and cultivating a growth mindset. Continuous learning plays an important role as well.
For the graduates or the young professionals, there might not be many choices because they are bound by a lot of responsibilities in that early stage of their career. Is being in the comfort zone is good for them at that point of time, or is it the right time to explore the pathways and expand the boundaries for young professionals?
Nishchal, I think it's never good to stay in your comfort zone for too long. And that also means while studying, for example, when you think of yourself as a first semester student, as opposed to what you are now, if you say that you are still in that same mindset, that means there's a problem then. And it's the same that echoes across for young career professionals as well. You don't want to stay in your comfort zone for too long. as a newcomer, and coming back to your question about newcomers, newcomers could initially find comfort in what they've learned during their education, but relying solely on the knowledge that they've learned can limit their potential. You know, I'll give you my own example of my son. So my son's currently studying in university, first year. And I've been telling him from the start, I said, do not solely rely on university education alone. You know, there's lots of other courses that I have been encouraging him to do. And say, well, do those other courses also, because that will mean you have broadened your horizon. You're doing what others have not done, because ultimately, you know, you have to find that point of distinction. Otherwise, how do you make yourself marketable, or how do you make yourself employable? Because, you know, every other graduate will have that same degree. So that's why I think it's important, don't just find comfort in what they've learned during their education. And embracing new challenges is important, particularly you develop your practical skills, you build networks, and identify what your strengths and weaknesses are. When you talk of university education, particularly also for young professionals, I think it's important to transition from theoretical knowledge to real world application. That's really important, you know, and employers value that real world application. It's very important to try and build your expertise in areas where you think the employer demands skills. There are some skills that university education will definitely help you develop. Now, university education is not the silver bullet alone. It's important for job seekers, early career professionals, for students to go and look at job advertisements to actually get a feel for what skills are actually needed in the market. Then do a comparison saying, well, is this skill necessarily covered by my university education? If not, find ways of plugging that gap.
When I was working in Melbourne Connect, I worked with the facility manager there once, and I had a chance to get inside the IT company, and I couldn't unsee there were a lot of CVs on the desk, and a lot of CVs that were like separate from the pile was one CV which caught my eye. It had a lot of hardcore skills, like let's say JavaScript or Python or all those tech terms, that tech skills that university provide or we learn as IT professionals. And except for that, there were like other things such as volunteering or running a marathon and taking part in hackathon or a lot of extracurricular activities rather than just being limited to the IT core technical skills. So how important is that?
It's very important for young professionals to proactively seek experiences such as, or let's say challenging experiences that involve networking, volunteering for diverse projects, and seeking mentorship. You know, extracurricular activities are important. And, you know, I've always said this, and, you know, you might recall even in my class, I've said, you need to find ways of engaging with other professionals. That might be attending meetups, for example, you know, where you find industry professionals. Often you seek mentorship from there. So it's important to involve in networking, volunteering for different projects, and seeking mentorship. But Nishchal, one of the things, you know, you've also emphasized on hard skills or tech skills. I've also talked about them, but let's not forget the value of soft skills.
True.
Because employers have clearly and repeatedly and loudly said that we can teach the tech skills. It's the soft skills that we struggle with. So it is very important, and particularly if you know, and if your listeners know that that's an area where it's their weakness, find ways of building on those gaps. Build on those soft skills, build on those communication skills, build on interpersonal skills, build on your presentation skills, build on your communication skills, because these are highly valued by employers. And good communication skills will take you a long way.
I'm your student, and I recall your classes, you have emphasized on soft skills so many times. And I think being in that class, being your student, has helped me in a lot of ways in developing my soft skills. Because I remember me being a tech savvy, I was always into computers, and I have accumulated a lot of experience and skills in that sort of area. But my soft skills, I was lacking in my soft skills. My public speaking was, I couldn't even speak in front of two or three people. And I was struggling in lots of other soft skills. What I'm trying to say is you have helped me gain those skills, develop those skills. And I think I've been gaining a lot of other experiences in a lot of other soft skills with all these organizations like JCI Australia. And I've been involved in university clubs and societies as well. So to whoever is listening to us right now, I would suggest them to just go out there, meet people, and just talk to them, have a growth mindset, and don't be stuck in your hard skills. Try to explore your soft skills and develop your soft skills as well. Isn't it so?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you, Nishal. I'm glad you found my sessions useful. But my class, for example, let's just call it the optimal moment. That was an opportunity for you and others for stepping outside your comfort zone, because based on instructions that I was given in class, you know, whether it was how to do a presentation, why it's important to do a presentation, how to develop those skills. So if we treat that as an optimal moment for developing our own capabilities, we will all succeed. And we all need to find those optimal moments, whether it's you, whether it's your peers, whether it's your listeners, whether it is other early career professionals, or whether it's me. We all come across these different moments, which I will call optimal moments, because they help us step outside our comfort zone, which can lead to life transitions or career shifts also. These moments provide a natural opportunity to reassess our goals and take calculated risks. There are some who will do what is being advised. There are others who will say, okay, well, we heard this, let's just move on. And that's a problem, right? I mean, you look at some of your own peers. Each of your peer may not have availed the same opportunity, may not have availed the same learning, but everyone had the same opportunity, right? And as they say, you can take a horse to the water, but you cannot make it drink the water, right? So we are all given opportunities. How we use those opportunities is up to us. If we avail of those optimal moments, we will all get potential benefits that include accelerated personal and professional growth, expanded skill sets, and increased adaptability in the face of change. I mean, a classical example is you here now interviewing me. Right. So obviously what that shows is that you've also developed your own public speaking skills in this last 1 year. You have transitioned from that young professional, young student who was there in my class, who was perhaps timid at the start, to have now taken on this responsibility of developing a podcast and interviewing others. That's a classical example of how, I mean, you improve yourself through learning and expanding your comfort zones.
So I've always looked up to you as my mentor. And I think that's necessary if you are in that growth pathway, to have a mentor, to someone that who can guide you and someone who can help you reach the certain checkpoints.
Yes. Look, I cannot talk enough of the importance of having a mentor. Most universities will have some sort of a mentorship program, formal or informal. Mentors provide valuable guidance that is based on their own experience and expertise. We learn from their accumulated wealth of experience. And learning from their success and failures can help you save time and help you avoid common pitfalls. You know, obviously, it provides that networking opportunities. Mentors can also provide encouragement and motivation. Mentors can provide skill development and personal development. And they can also help you change your way of thinking and help confidence building and career advancement. So these are some of the advantages that you can get out of having a mentor.
Is every expanding comfort zone good? Or to what extent young professionals or professionals of any sort should stop or have a pause? Or is it just a lifelong process? If you have a growth mindset, is it just a lifelong process?
Absolutely, yes. It's definitely a lifelong process. And I used the word continual improvement earlier on. So you need to focus on self-reflection. You need to set yourself goals and you need to identify areas for growth. Every person should be doing that. You know, at the start of the year, these are things that I also do. I'm not joking. I seriously, on the 1st of January every year, I will sit down with a piece of paper and write it down what I've done in the last year, which is my self-reflection, what I want to achieve in the new year and identify areas for growth. And I have been doing that for a long time now. And trust me, I am not joking just because you're interviewing me, but I really have a notebook. But on the 1st of January, I write these things down, about 2 pages. So I don't write a lot. There's about 2 pages that I write down. Then, you know, the whole year, I'm focusing on those things. And sometimes I may not have achieved, because see, what happens then is when I'm writing it on the 1st of January, I also flip the pages and saw what I wrote last year. There are things that I may not have achieved, but at least by writing or self-reflecting, I'm working towards those things. And, you know, we all have common fears. And those fears include failure, rejection, and the unknown. And it's important to acknowledge the fears, break down the challenges, as I've said, into manageable steps. And you focus on the learning opportunities that come with each new experience. You talked about public speaking earlier on as your own example. But remember, you're not alone. Every speaker I've heard, in fact, the most experienced public speaker also says when they step onto a stage, they still have stage fear. Public speaking, again, you know, we have to recognize that the fear of judgment and failure is always there in public speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, how is my audience going to take me? And the more we do it, the better we become. So yeah, I think self-reflection, goal setting, and identifying areas for growth are important. It's important that you focus on developing resilience and adaptability. There are a lot of career uncertainties that exist in today's day and age, particularly, you know, when you look at the technology market, it's constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. And developing, you know, resilience, adaptability, that focus on continuous learning and learning from setbacks, maintaining a positive mindset and viewing challenges as opportunities for growth will contribute to your long-term career success.
I've noticed one thing that you mentioned, that IT industry itself is a very evolving industry. So if you are in a comfort zone in an IT industry and it's very certain that you'll be replaced or you won't grow in your career path as you have thought of, if you never learn new things or if you don't go out to that growth zone, isn't it?
Absolutely. So that's why, Nishchal, I think it's important to build a diverse skill set. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important to stay curious, and because curiosity will lead to learning and will open new opportunities. So these are all proactive measures that can contribute to your own personal and professional growth in doing all of this. And it's also important that you pause and reassess. This goes back to that first question, Ritesh. How do you find time? Mm-hmm. There have been times when I have felt burnt out, all as professionals, whether it's a student, whether it's a young professional, any professional, you know, for that matter. We need to pause and reassess, because signs of burnout or feeling overwhelmed indicate a time for reflection. Self-assessment ensures that your growth remains intentional, it remains sustainable, and it helps you achieve your long-term career goals.
We both have mentioned goals, long-term goals, short-term goals in your personal life, in your career pathway. So that's where it all comes down to having a career clarity.
There's no harm in having goals, but I also talked about the importance of adaptability. You know, earlier on, I mentioned how important it is for all of us to adapt. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things I said earlier on is you can embrace uncertainty, but simultaneously also adapt to change. So, you know, I gave you my own examples of how I have adapted to research, how I have adapted to unfamiliar subjects, how I have adapted to unfamiliar educational methodologies. So that increased adaptability is a very important thing. And there's no harm setting goals, but then as a career, as a professional, if you find that you need to make changes in the way you're doing things, you have to adapt yourself. So yes, please feel free to do that.
We've got some great advice here. Building diverse skill sets, staying curious, because curiosity will lead to learning. That's a great one.
And the importance of being adaptive. You can embrace uncertainty and simultaneously adapt to change.
Yes, that's another great advice. Dr. Chuk is very passionate about pushing boundaries to find career clarity, and we thank him for sharing his experience with us.
If you find today's episode useful, please follow our show and share this episode with someone in your network.
Today's episode is made possible by our dedicated volunteers from Resilient Leadership Academy and GSI Eastern, two great organizations that support young professionals with their growth and development. To learn more about us, please visit our show notes.
And a big thank you to Nichelle from JCI Eastern and Associate Professor Dr. Chuk from CQ University for donating their time.
This episode is hosted by Sean Ng and myself, Susie Chen, and produced by Susie Chen. Until next time.